Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus stood upon the cross as on a ladder with many rungs. With this statement, Jacob of Sarug, a 6th century Syrian bishop, begins his poetic homily on the account of Jacob's dream at Bethel. For this Syrian bishop, it is the crucified Christ the patriarch glimpses in his vision. The cross is the stairway that unites heaven and earth. The cross is the way by which God descends to dwell among sinners. It is the way by which man ascends to dwell with God. The cross is the bow that binds heaven and earth into one fellowship. And so Jesus stood upon the cross as on a ladder with many rungs. For Jacob of Sarug, the cross, therefore, is not just the final destiny of Christ's journey. The cross is the road itself. The cross constitutes the beginning, the middle, and the end. It is the narrow gate that few find. It is the hard way that Jesus calls us to agonize in order to enter upon it. It is the heavenly liturgy of which Jesus speaks to Nathanael. You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The cross is the ladder that when it is lifted up and the Son of Man standing upon it joins God and man in one body, in one life, in one fellowship. Thus the Advent season is not merely an irrelevant preparation for the Passion. It is not some kind of vain prelude to fill space as we wait for the real liturgy of Holy Week to commence. Rather, Advent is the introit of the sacrificial liturgy that is the narrative of Jesus' life. Advent is already the beginning of the Passion. It is the first step on that path that leads inevitably to the altar. Advent is the first rung on that ladder that leads unavoidably to the atonement that is required, to the pouring out of that blood in which there is the forgiveness of sins. And the opening of this liturgy, the introit of Jesus' life, is governed by the preaching of John the Baptist. For John, the way to be prepared and the path to be made straight is above all else the way of fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John begins the New Testament precisely where the Old Testament had ended. Like John, Malachi before him foresaw the coming of fire. Who can endure the day of his coming, asked the prophet. For he is like a refiner's fire, and will refine the sons of Levi like gold and silver till they present right offerings. For Malachi and for John, the children of God are destined for the fire. However, for Malachi, the coming fire does not merely punish, it cleanses. It does not merely consume, but purifies. It does not merely kill, but regenerates. For the prophet Malachi, the divine fire that governs Israel's destiny is a refining fire. It consumes what is extraneous. It leaves behind what is essential, what is real, what is eternal. Indeed, from the beginning, Israel's life has been defined by the liturgy of divine fire. For following his miraculous birth, the seed of Abraham, Isaac himself, was destined for the fire. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall tell you. In this command, there's no alternative route, no way of escape. Indeed, this command begins a procession, an introit procession, that leads by divine necessity to the liturgy of sacrifice, to the binding, to the altar, and to the fire. And as we know, on that occasion, that liturgy of fire is interrupted by an angel. However, the angel does not set aside the command of God. The command of God to sacrifice Isaac is not some manipulative trick. It is not some vain statement designed to play with the patriarch's mind. The angel does not negate God's command concerning Abraham's offspring. He only delays its execution. The command of God remains in force. The introit has begun. The first steps toward the sacrificial fire have been taken. The seed of Abraham remains destined for the fire. For he is like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi till they present right offerings. The prophet reminds the people that their life has been defined by fire. From the moment Isaac is loosed and removed from the altar, the children of Abraham have lived their lives as spectators of this liturgy of divine fire. With curiosity and wonder, Moses encounters God as a fire that permeates the bush without consuming it. And in the law that comes through his mediation, God even calls himself a devouring fire. Indeed, this is Israel's experience of God. They live within the sacrificial liturgy in which the fire on the altar seems to burn eternally. It is a fire that is fueled by victim after victim after victim. Daily, this fire consumes what the priestly people offer. Israel lives as spectators of this flame. She ever dwells before this fire, watching it and fueling it and waiting upon it. God is truly for Israel an all-consuming fire. And if the children of Abraham are to become the children of God, then they too must find their dwelling within that divine fire. And so Malachi preaches the coming day, in which the people of God will no longer be spectators of the fire, but those who dwell within the fire. He sees a day when the offspring of Abraham will no longer offer the figurative offerings of lambs, but the real offering of oneself, heart, mind, body, and soul. There is nothing astonishing here, for the prophets had long foreseen such a reality. Indeed, it was seen in Elijah, who was assumed into the fire of divine glory, a fire that becomes his stairway into heaven. It was seen by Ezekiel, who beholds the throne of God borne by the cherubim, and on that throne he sees one in the likeness of man, and surrounding this throne, Ezekiel says, is the appearance of fire. And finally, it was revealed in the three youths who are cast into the fiery furnace, and yet they find that fire to be the dwelling place of a fourth, one who is like the Son of God. However, what Jacob could only dream, the prophets could only prefigure, now becomes a reality in the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. The command to Abraham that his son should be offered as a whole burnt offering is now finally accomplished on the altar of the cross. The procession begun in Isaac is delayed no longer. Now it reaches its end on Calvary, and of this liturgy there will be no interruption. Jesus will stand upon the cross as a ladder with many rungs. On the cross, a flesh and blood man, the seed of Abraham, takes his proper place within the fire of divine glory. Jesus' body is the burning bush. It is surrounded, permeated, baptized, and immersed in the fire of the Father's glory, and yet it is not consumed. The cross is the chariot of fire by which Jesus is now lifted up. The cross is the baptism of fire preached by John, the refining fire foreseen by Malachi. For the cross is the ladder by which God descends to dwell among us, purged of his wrath. The cross is the fire that now leaves behind nothing but God's love and his mercy and his compassion. In the same way, the cross is the ladder by which we are called to ascend into the presence of God, cleansed of all sin of all that is profane. The cross is that refining fire that now consumes all that is extraneous and temporal in us. It is the baptism of fire that leaves behind only what is real and authentic and eternal. It leaves behind what cannot be consumed, the body of Christ. And in this body of Jesus, you too, dear friends, have been given a place. Therefore, we too are the seed of Abraham, and we too are destined for the fire. Not the fire of judgment, but of refining. Not the fire of punishment, but of cleansing. Not the fire of destruction, but of regeneration. Therefore, we must take to heart the preaching of Malachi and John and prepare for this advent of divine fire, the fire of God's cruciform glory. We must heed the appeal of St. Paul and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.